Hey everyone, welcome back to AI Special Report. I'm Skylar Monroe. I run an AI research lab at a FANG company, and this is where I break down the stories shaping the AI landscape for people who actually live and breathe this stuff. Big thank you to our sponsors, Ada, who helps clients integrate AI into their workflows, Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting from AI to SOHI, and Zen Semiconductor, an umbrella company with a portfolio of silicon industry companies, plus Ada for deploying AI at scale, and their Glow Accelerator makes AI models run faster and cheaper. Today we've got a spicy one, China, data centers, and some convenient scapegoating. An AI that actually understands physics. A 25-year-old medical data platform that quietly became a global standard. Prediction markets getting people in actual legal trouble. And AI cameras watching you at stop signs. Let's get into it. All right, first story, and I have to say, this one got me fired up a little bit. Wired is reporting on the growing backlash against data centers across the United States, and the somewhat suspicious narrative that's being pushed to counter that backlash. So here's the setup. Polls are consistently showing that large majorities of Americans, and we're talking overwhelming numbers, are not happy about data centers being built in their communities. And honestly, that's not super surprising when you think about it. These facilities use enormous amounts of water, they consume staggering quantities of electricity, they generate noise, they can affect local infrastructure, and a lot of the time the economic benefits that were promised to local communities just don't fully materialize the way people hoped. So there's genuine public frustration here, and it's rooted in real, legitimate concerns. Water usage alone is something I think a lot of people in tech underestimate when it comes to public perception. Like, we're sitting here talking about model efficiency and inference costs, and meanwhile, someone's town is watching a massive facility get built that's going to draw heavily on local water resources. That lands differently on the ground than it does in a boardroom. Now, here's where it gets interesting and a little eyebrow-raising. According to Wired, tech leaders and their allies have found a very convenient rhetorical move, point at China. The argument goes something like, look, if we don't build these data centers here, China wins the AI race. And it's a compelling pitch on the surface, right? It hits all the right notes. National security, economic competitiveness, technological sovereignty. It's the kind of argument that can make opposition feel almost unpatriotic. But Wired's reporting highlights a pretty significant problem with this framing. There's a lack of evidence connecting local data center opposition to any actual advantage for China. Like, the logical chain from this town doesn't want a noisy, water-hungry facility next to their neighborhood to, and therefore Beijing wins, is a stretch. It's a rhetorical sleight of hand, and it's worth calling out. From my perspective, working in AI infrastructure, I get the genuine strategic concern about compute capacity and national competitiveness. That's real. The race for AI dominance does have geopolitical dimensions, but using that as a cudgel to shut down legitimate local concerns is a separate thing entirely. Communities deserve real engagement, not a boogeyman. And frankly, if the industry wants long-term social license to build the infrastructure AI needs, and it does need a lot of it, then dismissing public concerns with China is not a sustainable strategy. It's a short-term rhetorical win that creates long-term trust problems. The industry needs to do the harder work of actually addressing energy, water, and community impact questions head-on. Okay, story two. This one is genuinely cool, and I think it's a little underappreciated in terms of what it signals for AI capabilities. MIT AI News is covering a new development called GPT, and the core idea here is giving AI models a feel for physics. Let me unpack that. So one of the long-standing limitations of machine learning models, even really powerful ones, is that they don't inherently understand the physical world the way, say, a trained engineer does. You can train a model on tons of data, and it might get very good at pattern matching. But ask it to simulate how a structure responds to wind load, or how water flows through a particular terrain, and things can get shaky. Traditional physics simulations, the kind used in engineering, environmental modeling, geology, architecture, are extremely computationally expensive and often require domain experts to set up correctly. What GPT is doing is essentially teaching AI models the fundamentals of physics, so they can run these kinds of simulations more efficiently and more accurately. And when I say a feel for physics, I mean the model has been developed to understand governing physical principles, things like fluid dynamics, mechanical stress responses, how forces interact with materials, and use that understanding to simulate real-world scenarios more intelligently. The name GPT suggests a particular focus on geophysical applications, which makes a lot of sense when you think about use cases. We're talking about simulating how wind interacts with terrain, how water moves through a watershed, how soil responds to load. These are problems that matter enormously in climate modeling, civil engineering, disaster preparedness, environmental planning. The fact that GPT can apparently do this more efficiently than traditional methods is a big deal because it means these simulations become more accessible. You don't need a massive compute budget or a specialized simulation team to get useful physical modeling done. From a research standpoint, what excites me about this is the direction it points toward. We've been talking in the AI research community for a while about physics-informed neural networks, models that don't just learn from data, but are actually constrained by or guided by physical laws. GPT seems to be a meaningful step in that direction for a broad class of geophysical problems. And if you generalize that concept, AI systems that understand the rules of the physical world rather than just correlations in data, the implications are enormous. Better robotics, better materials science, better climate modeling. This is the kind of foundational capability work that doesn't always get flashy headlines but ends up mattering a lot. All right, story three. This one is a bit of a retrospective, but it's a story worth telling because it's genuinely impressive what's been quietly built here. MIT AI News is covering the 25th anniversary of PhysioNet, which is a biomedical and clinical data repository that has become one of the most comprehensive and widely used platforms of its kind in the world. So here's the origin story. Back in the 1970s, and yes, I said the 1970s, researchers at MIT developed a system for collecting and sharing physiological data. That's heart rhythms, vital signs, clinical measurements, the kind of data that's absolutely essential if you want to study the human body, develop diagnostics, train medical AI, or do basically any serious clinical research. And the key insight, even back then, was that this data needed to be shared openly to be useful. Science advances faster when researchers can build on each other's work. PhysioNet launched 25 years ago as the platform that formalized and scaled that vision. And what it's become is remarkable. It's now one of the most comprehensive repositories of biomedical and clinical data in existence, used by researchers worldwide to develop everything from cardiac monitoring algorithms to early warning systems for critical care patients. Here's why this matters in the AI context specifically. Medical AI is one of the most promising and also most fraught areas of AI development. The promise is huge: earlier disease detection, better diagnosis, more personalized treatment. But the challenge is data. Training robust medical AI models requires enormous amounts of high-quality, well-labeled clinical data. And that data is hard to come by for a bunch of reasons: privacy regulations, institutional siloing, proprietary concerns, liability worries. PhysioNet essentially solved a version of that problem for a critical subset of biomedical data by creating a trusted, open, standardized repository. What I find really instructive here is the long game. This started as a research system in the 70s, formalized in the late 90s, and 25 years later, it's a global standard. That's a multi-decade payoff on a vision about open data sharing. And as someone who thinks about AI infrastructure, that's a reminder that some of the most impactful contributions to the AI ecosystem aren't models or algorithms, they're the data infrastructure that makes good models possible in the first place. PhysioNet is a case study in how open data platforms done right become foundational to an entire field. Okay, story four. This one's got a few different threads, and I want to hit them all because they're each interesting in their own way. Wired is reporting on the latest drama in the prediction market world, and there is a lot of drama. So prediction markets, if you're not familiar, are platforms where people bet on the outcomes of real-world events, elections, economic indicators, sports, basically anything with a definable outcome. They've gotten a lot of buzz recently, because some of these markets got genuinely big and liquid enough to arguably be useful forecasting tools. But now we're seeing the edges of what happens when real money and real legal frameworks collide with a space that was partly built on regulatory ambiguity. Wired is reporting that people are getting banned from platforms and in some cases actually arrested in connection with prediction market activity. And that's a significant escalation. It signals that regulators and law enforcement are starting to catch up with a space that has been operating in a pretty gray zone, and the consequences are getting real. Now, there's a second thread in this story that I think is relevant to this audience specifically, and that's Flock Safety's AI-powered police search tool. Flock is a company that makes license plate readers and surveillance cameras that are sold to law enforcement agencies, and they've integrated AI to make their search capabilities more powerful. The civil liberties questions here are serious. We're talking about AI-assisted mass surveillance infrastructure being deployed at scale across American cities with relatively limited public debate about the oversight mechanisms. And then there's this third bit that honestly made me chuckle. The reporting touches on how tech executives and commentators keep talking about Rouge AI agents. Not Rogue, R-O-G-U-E, but Rouge as in the color red or the makeup product. And look, typos happen, but when it becomes a pattern, it starts to suggest that people are writing about these topics without a ton of depth. And that matters because the discourse around AI agents and their risks is genuinely important. And sloppy language reflects sloppy thinking sometimes. If you're a leader or investor in this space, the quality of the analysis you're consuming matters. Taken together, these three threads are kind of a snapshot of where we are with AI and tech in society right now. Real legal consequences starting to land on tech-adjacent spaces, AI surveillance tools raising civil liberties questions, and a public conversation about AI that's still catching up to the reality of what's being deployed. It's a complicated moment. Last story, and this one is very much a the future is already here. It's just unevenly distributed type of situation. TechCrunch is covering a startup called Obvio, based in San Carlos, California, and what they're doing is installing AI-powered cameras at stop signs to catch unsafe drivers. Specifically, drivers who roll through stop signs without stopping, which is actually one of the more common factors in pedestrian fatalities in the U.S., and let's be real about the problem they're addressing. American streets are genuinely dangerous for pedestrians. The U.S. has significantly worse pedestrian safety outcomes than comparable wealthy countries, and a lot of that comes down to street design and driver behavior. Stop sign violations are a meaningful piece of that puzzle. So the problem Obvio is trying to solve is real and serious. Here's how the system works. Cameras mounted at stop signs use computer vision to analyze vehicle behavior. Is the car actually coming to a complete stop? And when a violation is detected, that can be used to issue citations or take other enforcement action. It's essentially automating a type of traffic enforcement that's currently very inconsistent because it relies on police being physically present to observe violations. Now the founders are very aware of the surveillance concerns here, and Wired, or TechCrunch, rather notes that they're explicitly addressing the panopticon worry. That's the concern that blanketing cities with AI cameras creates a system of total surveillance that has implications way beyond traffic enforcement. And their argument is that this system is narrowly scoped. It's looking at vehicle behavior at intersections, not building databases of individuals' movements or facial recognition, that kind of thing. But here's my honest take. Scope creep is real, and the history of surveillance technology being deployed for one purpose and then expanded is well documented. I'm not saying Obvio has bad intentions. I think they're genuinely trying to solve a real safety problem. But the governance and oversight frameworks around this kind of deployment matter enormously. Who has access to the data? What are the retention policies? What prevents the data from being used for purposes beyond traffic enforcement? These are the questions that need real answers, not just assurances. From a pure AI deployment standpoint, this is actually a really interesting case study in edge inference. You've got cameras doing real-time computer vision at the infrastructure level, making decisions about vehicle behavior on the fly. That's technically non-trivial, and it points to where a lot of AI deployment is heading out of the cloud into the physical world, making consequential decisions in real time. The technical challenges and the governance challenges are both significant, and they're both worth watching as Obvio and companies like them scale. And that's a wrap on today's episode of AI Special Report. Five stories, a lot of ground covered, from data center politics to physics-aware AI to medical data infrastructure to prediction market legal drama to stop sign surveillance. Thanks so much for spending this time with me. This is AI Special Report, brought to you by Ada, Ago Consulting, and Zen Semiconductor. If you're enjoying this show, you should also check out Unzip, another show in the Ada Podcast Network that digs into tech and innovation in ways this audience will love. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening, share this episode with someone in your orbit who geeks out on AI, and check the link in show notes for more details on everything we covered today. I'll see you next time.